So Otzer Nechmad literally means a delightful treasure and aromatic oil are found in the dwelling place of the wise, that's Neveh. Uchsil Adam, but a foolish person, Yivalenu, will swallow it, which essentially means he will consume it and destroy it and will not be able to preserve what is called the Otzer Nechmad and the Shemen. Which means foolish. Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Chaf. Yeah. Which means to say that foolish people squander very precious resources. So he says like this. He says, Amru Chachameinu, so our Chachamim tell us in the Medrash, that Otzar, the idea of a treasure, is Torah. The Torah is our greatest treasure. Nechmad, Torah actually means the five books of Moses, the Chumash. Nechmad, delightful, is Nevi'im. So instead of reading Nechmad as an adjective modifying Otzar, you read it as a sequence. Otzar, comma, Nechmad, comma, and Shemen, comma. Or Shemen, because it says that Otzar is Torah, Nechmad is Nevi'im, and Shemen is called Ksuvim. We'll see why. And therefore, Kol Eilu Hashlosha B'Nevei Chacham. In the dwelling place of the wise, which really means in his heart, there is this precious treasure of Torah, Nevi'im, and Kesuvim. Uchsil Adam Yivalenu, but a fool will swallow it up. What does that mean? Kishelomeid im Talmid She'eno Hagun. When you learn with a student who is not deserving of the Torah study. Now, this is a whole category. What is a Talmud She'eno Hagun? It does not refer to intellectual abilities, but it refers to a person that is cynical, he is disrespectful of the Torah, and he mocks the Torah. So such a person is not really ready to kind of sit down and learn Torah. And when you teach that person Mavaleya Hakol, Mavaleya here, which literally means swallow, but it refers to he will dissipate, he will destroy it. Meaning to say that the cynical attitude of such a person will even poison the Talmud Chacham himself, who will lose some of his own respect for the Torah. So that's one interpretation. Although it's interesting that it's not clear, the Gemara does not develop this that much. Number one, he doesn't really explain the Medrash. Why is Nechmad Nevi'im and Shemen is Ksuvim? What does all that mean? But also, it's interesting that this metaphor for Torah is so much linked to the Tanakh. In other words, this is not a pasuk dealing with Mishnah, Gemara, and things. This is dealing with specifically Torah, Nevi'im, Kesuvim. That is the Otzar Nechmad and the Shemen that is in the Neveh Chacham. Perhaps there's a little bit of a remiss here, because historically, we know in modern times, the Reform movement and critical Bible scholars and the like who have a tremendous disparagement for rabbinic literature. And it's amazing. If you actually read the books of sophisticated Bible commentators, they'll say, they'll come
is
up
with... Is that Wellhausen and all those guys?
Yeah, Wellhausen's already... but, people today, they'll come up with explanations, but, almost anything good that they say was already said by Rashi or Chazal, and they never, they don't acknowledge any of that. It's as if like none of that existed at all. So maybe the pasuk is Bedafka telling us that the fool that has a disrespectful attitude of the Torah should not even be involved in the study of Bible. Meaning, it's not that Bible could be an immune area, free of the influence of Chazal, but when you uncouple it from a respect for the divine origin of the book, then it gets also disparaged and treated in a disrespectful way.
Does this also extrapolate to the practice of Judaism? Like
to what? To learn with a...
worshipping and all this?
Well, in what way? In other words, that a person...
A person who speaks badly about worshipping or do that and do this and so on.
Well, yeah. I mean, basically, you try to bring a person to Judaism, but there is a point when a person's attitude is not ready, really, to be exposed to certain things. It is sometimes counterproductive to teach people things which they will just disrespect and disregard and make fun of. So you have to be very careful as to what you teach and when you teach. So that's one explanation. The Od Nireh, But then he gives another explanation based on some associations. Otsar here can mean both a treasury or a storehouse in which a treasure is kept. Now, Otsar, in the sense of a storehouse, is a remez to Yiras Hashem, the reverence and awe that you have for God. Kamosha Kasuv, as the Pasuk says in Yeshayo, Yiras Hashem hi Otsaro. Now, actually, that Pasuk could mean fear of God is his treasure, but the Gemara Masechet Shabbos specifically darshens this to mean that Yiras Hashem is the Otsar, is the treasure house that enables you to absorb Torah. Meaning, if you're a person without Yiras Hashem, the Torah knowledge is not going to stick to you. Yiras Hashem is the treasure house that contains all of the Torah within. In fact, it's very, very fascinating that Rav Chaim of Volozhiner even has an arithmetical formula for this, because Rav Chaim Volozhiner was the great Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, was writing towards the very beginning of the Hasidic movements. Now, his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, was quite antagonistic towards Hasidus. He excommunicated the movement. The Baal HaTanya wanted to meet with him, and he refused to even meet him. Rav Chaim Volozhiner was much more conciliatory. Rav Chaim Volozhiner was not a fighter in that way, but he did write a book, The Nefesh HaChaim, which is a very famous book, which is really directed, it's really an anti-Hasidic book in many ways, but he uses the same sources that Hasidus uses. So Hasidus stressed, for example, the idea of Dveikus, that instead of learning, you should concentrate on spiritually connecting yourself to God, and you should focus on saying Tehillim, you should focus on prayer for many hours, even if it's not in the right time of prayer, because the Iker is the spiritual connection. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner devotes a lot of the Nefesh HaChaim to the idea that learning of Torah has to be a total involvement in the learning itself, and you shouldn't be consciously thinking of Dveikus. But he draws this analogy. He says, Chazal describe Yiras Hashem as the Otsar, as the treasure house that contains and preserves the treasure of Torah. Right? So the Yiras Hashem to the Torah has to bear the ratio of the Otsar to that which the Otsar contains. Now, if we look at the Otsar, the treasure house, as that which preserves, he quotes a Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about above Metziah, when you buy grain, a certain quantity of grain, so a certain percentage of your quantity can be devoted to preservatives. So if you buy a ton of grain, so up to 1/24 of the ton does not have to be grain, but it could be dirt, soil, different things that preserve the freshness of the grain. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, therefore, one should concentrate on Yiras Hashem based on that ratio of 1/24. And therefore he says, if you're learning 24 hours, if you're learning, 10 hours a day, so you take 1/24 of that time, and that should be devoted to conscious striving in Yiras Hashem. And that's his Yiras Hashem hi Otsaro. That is what I think. That is ultimately. Let's see. If you go with a half an hour in many yeshivas, they study Musar between 15 minutes and half an hour. It's based on that type of formula, in some ways. So he says, Otsar is Yiras Hashem, and why is it called Yiras Hashem is your treasure? So he gives a different reason. Ki derech hamalachim leatzor biskulaso. Oso davrish ein lo kamohu ot, right? What do you put away in your treasure house? That which is irreplaceable because there is none other. Right? That which is unique. Yiras Hashem is a very unique thing. What is so unique about Yiras Hashem? Because v'yamru, hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyiras shamayim. It says, God decrees everything in the world except my decision to fear him. That's free will. So Yiras Hashem is a totally unique phenomenon because it is the only phenomenon in the world which God does not dictate. And that is why Yiras Hashem is my treasure. It is our treasure because it is an irreplaceable aspect of my personality that is totally within my control. No one has any control over it. Even God has no control over it. L'chein hi otsaro. So otsar is yiras Hashem. Nechmad in this pshat, that which is delightful. Again, he's learning it not as an adjective but as a separate noun. Is Torah itself is called a delight, kamosha kasuf, as we say in davening. Right, this is from Tehillim. Hanechemadim mizahav. God's words are more delightful than gold. Shemen, oil, is a reference to the keeping of the commandments. And where do you see this? You see this in a verse in Koheles where Shlomo HaMelech says, "B'chol eis yiyu begadecha levanim." Right? He says in Koheles, "Your garments should always be white, and there should always be fresh oil on your body." And the white garments refers to your midos, the purity of your character traits. Midos are called garments. And shemen al rosh ka'al yechsar, these are mitzvahs. So therefore, according to the second pshat, otsar, kama, nechmad, kama, and shemen refers to yiras Hashem, limud ha-Torah, and shmiras ha-mitzvahs. Right, those three things of nikra and shemen. And why are mitzvahs called oil? Because he quotes another association. Ki Torah hi or. Right, what does it say? It says, ki ner mitzvah. A mitzvah is like a candle. And the Torah is like lights. So therefore, since mitzvos are compared to candles, what is a candle? A candle is not a wax candle. A candle is a receptacle with oil. So shemen is exactly what mitzvos do. In other words, mitzvos enable you to create light in the world, similar to a candle, by your observance of them. And mitzvos heim ner, she'en omer, elo kishnosim bo shemen. Therefore, v'chol elu ha-shalosh, these qualities, yira, v'tayra, u'mitzvos, heim b'nevei chacham, they are in the dwelling place of the wise. And what is the dwelling place of the wise? The nefesh, ruach, neshama. These are the different qualities of soul of the chacham. And here he gives a little bit of a Kabbalistic interpretation. Naveh hu seser kamo shekasavnu lamala. Yeah, this is clarified a little bit if you look back at Besod Naveh, Besod Hon. All right, so first of all, he points out the following. The word Naveh, which is dwelling place, has the same letters as the word Hon, which is inner treasure. Naveh and Hon. And the inner treasure of the tzaddik, what is the tzaddik's most precious part of himself, is not his body, but it's the nefesh, ruach, neshama. And he points out earlier, if you look in Gimel, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, he does point out somewhat obliquely, although it's a little less oblique there than it is here, how naveh itself gets transmuted into the words nefesh, ruach, neshama. If you look at Gimel, Lamed, Gimel. This is on the second page, on Daf Samach in this edition. He says the following. The word bias, which is spelled Beis, Yud, Tuf. Why is bias? Because he says the yud of bias is yisod, foundation. The beis of bias is house, bias. And the tuf of bias is tikra, roof. Hmm. Right? So bias itself, of course, this runs the problem of defining a word by itself. You're saying bias is bias because the beis and bias stands for bias. It's a little odd, but nevertheless, he says roof bias is an abbreviation.
Roof is gag, isn't it?
Well, tikra is...
ceiling, okay. I think base is a house because of the shape of the base, which except for a roof is a solid. Because it has three walls. The base has three walls.
Well, you're saying a different thing, but here he says the bias spells out the word. Yesod bias tikra. He says yesod bias tikra.
Basis.
Yeah.
Foundation.
Yeah.
I mean for basis.
For the base.
Well, basis is with the samach.
Foundation.
Yeah, but that's with the Sabbath, yeah. Right? Yeah.
The last suggestion is that the base is a bias because of the shape of the base.
Okay, but that's a different, I mean, that's different, a different thought than he's saying here.
Someplace you're
going
to
okay. Okay.
The shapes of
yeah. Right, no, sure, for sure, yeah. Now, here's the thing. So, bias represents the material home, the physical entity with us, because for a person who's not a tzaddik, his home is his physical world.
His house
is his home. But, he says the following, tzaddikim, their place is not called bias, because they are not rooted in the physical world. Their place is called naveh. Now, naveh, if you look, he says, ha-nefesh, ruach, neshama. So it seems to be, he puts ha-nefesh. Is that, 1 second. The nun, I'm trying to just figure out, there's this, he's supposed to somehow get a nefesh, ruach, neshama. Naveh are hidden, the hidden letters of nefesh, ruach, neshama.
One form, which is Naveh Shel Tzadikim.
Yeah.
So he contracts them as Naveh
Tzadikim. Well, he's differentiating that a non-tzaddik, his home is called a bias. And for a tzaddik, his home is called Naveh. Because Naveh is connected to the Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. Now, the only thing I could see here is I can see that if you go with ha-nefesh, maybe, so the second letter is nun, and the second letter of ruach is vav. That's why it's seser. Seser means the hidden letters. And then the last letter of neshama is hey. So every letter has a nigla and a nistar, the hidden and the open. Let's say yud. Yud is spelled yud, vav, dalet. So the yud is the nigla, and the vav and the dalet is the nistar. So what he's saying is that the seser, the hidden letters of nefesh, ruach, neshama, spell out the word naveh, at least some of the hidden letters. And therefore, naveh is a remez to the tzaddik. His true home is his soul. His soul is his home. That's what they say, with the Chafetz Chaim. You know, many, many maisim like this. Somebody once asked the Chafetz Chaim why he had such little furniture in his home. So the Chafetz Chaim, you know, he was living in a kind of a shack, and there was a dirt floor. So the Chafetz Chaim says, well, you don't have a lot of furniture either. So the person says, well, I'm just traveling, I don't live here. So the Chafetz Chaim says, I don't live here either. This is my temporary dwelling away from home. The tzaddik's home is the world of the neshama, which is ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Russia is rooted in house, the physicality of this world, which means both his physical house and his body.
So it's a Benoni, though.
Yeah,
a lot of good people who still like their houses.
Well, that's right. Actually, the Gra is not saying the person's a Russia, but the Gra is saying that the true tzaddik lives in the Naveh, and the person who's not a great tzaddik lives in the bias, so to speak. So that's the chiluk that he's making over here as well.
So I'm calling it a Neve Medrash or a Neve Knesset.
Well, they say, okay. Yeah. So that's what he says. He says, Kisil Adam, a foolish person, that actually refers to the fool within the person. The fool within the person is Nefesh HaBahamios. That's the animal soul. The soul that desires the physicality of the world. Hu yivalenu, he will swallow and destroy everything. Kasher nimshach achar hatava, because he will be pulled after all of the sensual delights. And he will not want to be in the neveh, he will want to be in the bias. And therefore that's the warning here. Okay. So that's the reference. Otsar is Yiras Hashem, Nechmad is Alimut HaTorah, and the Shemen are the mitzvos that create the light of the candle that give you guidance in life. Okay. The next pasuk, Again, these are all short, unconnected psukim. Rodef, tzedakah v'chesed. V'chesed, he who pursues charity and loving kindness. Now, the word rodef is important because rodef suggests that you're not just waiting for people to come to you, but you pursue the opportunities to do good for others. So Hashem will reward you. He who pursues the tzedakah and the chesed, yimtza, shall find in return, right? It's a two for three here. Chayim, life, tzedakah, charity for you, we'll see what that is, v'chavot, and honor and glory as well. So here he says the following. What does all this mean? Kamosha kasef, there is a pasuk that says, a famous pasuk, orech yamim bimina, there is length of days on the right of the Torah, on her right hand, bismola, and on her left, these are undefined terms, osher v'chavot, there is wealth and honor. The Amru, and the Gemara asks in Maseches Shabbos, what does that mean? On the right, you only get long life, you don't get osher v'chavot? So the Gemara's answer is, again, the Gemara doesn't really explain the terms either, but the Gemara's answer is, what the pasuk means is, on the right hand of Torah, you even get long life as well as osher v'chavot. In other words, you get everything. On the left hand of the Torah, again, a term to be defined, you get osher v'kavod, but you don't get arichos yamin. Okay, that's how the Gemara sets up the pasuk. Now, what does all this mean? Ha'inyan, sheyesh shnei minei olam hazeh. There's two types of olam hazehs that God could give you. This world, the pleasures of this world. Echad hu olam hazeh garua. One is the worst olam hazeh, the one that's not worth anything. And that's kavod. Kavod is the biggest, most difficult thing. I mean, people want glory. Everyone wants glory, ego recognition. But that doesn't do a lot for you. It's worse than wealth. Because with wealth, you at least have the chance to do mitzvahs. Kavod gives a person arrogance and takes them away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So kavod is a much more garua, inferior form of benefit in this world than is wealth. Hasheni is an olam hazeh that's even better than olam haba, v'hainu osher, and that's wealth. If shebi yashro yaseh tzedakah umasim tovim, because Amr, what does Pirkei Avos say? Pirkei Avos says yafeh shah achas b'tshuva umasim tovim. What does Pirkei Avos say? 1 hour, actually 1 minute, of Torah and good deeds in this world is worth more than all of olam haba. So
now when you say osher, is this ritual or is this material?
No, this is actually material. It's material, but it's material. In other words, what he's saying is material wealth can be, it's good to be rich, can be a great, great blessing if and only if it is used to do mitzvahs. Now, Yamina, now actually here he doesn't define it, but what the Gemara actually goes on and says is, Yamin, the right of Torah, refers to those who learn and do Torah l'shem shemayim totally. And smola are those who do it, but not totally l'shem shemayim. So, yamina, you get the following. You get orech yamim, length of days, which is actually a reference to olam haba, because that's called the world shekulo orech. In other words, there's no guarantee a person will live a long time, but he'll have that eternal life in olam haba. Shenivra biyamin leketa yamin, v'gam osher v'kavod, and you will get osher, material wealth, as well as honor. Kmo shomer sham bigmara b'smola osher v'kavod hudik. Avol biyamina yesh arich yamin v'gam olam haba. V'zeh, and all of these things are picked up in this pasuk. Yimsa, what does it say? If you pursue tzedakah and chesed, yimsa chayim, you will find life. That refers to olam haba. Tzedakah, you will be given the resources to give tzedakah. That's osher, lasso tzedakah. And kavod is the other olam haba. You'll get that as well. In other words, the Gra is simply saying that one who is a rodef tzedakah v'chesed, which he is identifying as the right hand of the Torah, the one who is serving the totally l'shem shemayim, will get all of the brachos. the arichas yamim of Eilam Haba, the ability to give tzedakah, which is osher, and kavod is he'll get that as well. Which means, according to that definition, the tzedakah that he will get does not mean he will get charity. Rather, what it means is he will get the ashiras, which will enable him to give charity. Now, that's the basic pshat. Lefi pshuto, but we might give another translation, which is even simpler. And that is, tzedakah, he hits tarchus shelo, nikra tzedakah. In other words, tzedakah means whatever I need in my life. In other words, a person in the course of his life has needs. So it's mita keneged mita. If I try to meet the needs of others, Hashem will give me the tzedakah that I need. My parnassus tzedakah. He will give me the charity that I need to meet my needs. And therefore he creates the following parallelism. Shebiyad ha-chesed yimtza chayim. Right? Rodev tzedakah v'chesed. So because of loving kindness, you will get life. And because of charity, you will get charity. Now, where does kavod come in? That's another one. Ubiad redifaso acharze mavazes atzmo. And because you chased after the opportunities, and you occasionally humiliated yourself, whatever you do, let's say you pick up the garbage or clean the floors. So the mida keneged mida is, if you were willing to do things that are beneath your dignity, Hashem will reward you with people honoring you and respecting you. So that's kind of the parallelism. Rodef tzedakah v'chesed. So there are actually three things here. You're a person who gives charity, you're a person who does loving kindness, and you're a person that seeks these opportunities even if they're beneath your dignity and are occasionally embarrassing. You will get three things in reward. You will get life because of your chesed. You will get your needs in life met because of your tzedakah. And you will get honor because of your willingness to embarrass yourself for the sake of Hashem and for the sake of his mitzvahs. Right, so that would be the alternative definition of the pasuk. He doesn't say exactly under this explanation, but it seems to still be that I don't know. It could be just olam haba. In other words, it could still be that same definition of chayim and olam and olam haba.
And it wouldn't be in parallel because the things
Yeah, I understand. Yeah,
it may be chayim. Yeah. Tovim tzedakah v'chavod, and tovim is embedded in tzedakah.
No, it seems to be under the second pshat, Chaim is actually saying olam hazeh. In fact, we have pesukim that say tzedakah tatzal mimavis. I mean that charity and chesed do save a person. Now, in the spiritual world, there are no such things as guarantees for anything, because everything is multivariable, meaning. You do something that is supposed to give you life, but that could be negatively affected by something else that gives you death. So things work together. So it is true that tzedakah and chesed in and of themselves are a factor that gives life. But since it doesn't stand alone, you can never say, therefore, a person will live a long time. Okay, let's do just one more pasuk here. This is an enigmatic pasuk. It says, "Ir giborim Allah chacham." The wise man ascends the city of the mighty warriors. In other words, he kind of takes over a city. Vayored oz miftecha, and he brings down the strength of its security. Meaning, somehow through his wisdom, he can conquer and vanquish the city by taking away the strength which of their security, their strongest fortress, or whatever it is. Now, as a simple pasuk, you know, Koheles, Shlomo makes the point as well. He actually says that sometimes the weak person, the physically weak person, that has wisdom and understanding, is able to undermine an entire powerful society that doesn't have that wisdom. And that's what this pasuk is saying as well. But the Gra quotes the Midrashim on this. Miftecha means Me'a'o Sheba Miftecha, the strength of their security. Kolomar Hamufchar, the choicest of their security. Now, V'amar Rabosenu, Zichreinim Levracha, that this is a remez to Moshe Rabbeinu bringing the Torah down from heaven. Mm-hmm. Because Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven to get the Torah. And the Malachi HaShares did not want to release the Torah. The Malachi HaShares argued that human beings are not deserving of the holiness of the Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, justify yourself to them. And Moshe argued, you know, the Torah says don't kill, you know, you don't, the Malachim don't have a Yetzirah. The Torah is given because human beings have evil inclinations against which they need to have rules and the like. But this was called the strength of the angels, the Giborim. Now look, he says, and look how the Medrash fits it in. Ir Giborim, the city of the mighty ones, Zeh Shamayim, that is the heavens. Because the angels are called Gibore Koach, Osei Devara, the mighty powers that do the will of God. Actually, it's very interesting. This is actually connected to Naseh V'Nishma. Because when the Jewish people said, Naseh V'Nishma, we commit ourselves to do the will of God even before we know what it is. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Mi Gila Lebanai Raz Zeh, who revealed this secret to my children? Because that's exactly what the Malachi HaShares do. As it says in the Pasuk, Gibore Koach Osei Devaro Lishmoa Bekol Devaro. They are Osei Devaro, meaning they're committed to do God's will, Lishmoa, even though they don't hear it until afterwards. It's an exact parallel to Naseh V'Nishma. So the Gibore Koach, the Ir Giborim of the Shemayim, and who is the Chacham that goes up to the Ir Giborim? Zeh Moshe. Vayored Oz Miftach, and he brought down the stronghold of their security. Zeh Torah. Shehi HaMufchar Sheakob Shebakol. It is the choicest of all. Shekulam Yishtogugola. Everyone desires it, even the angels. V'gam Hi Nikras Oz. And the Torah itself is called strength. Kemoshe Kasov. Right, that's the meaning of the Pasuk. Hashem Oz. Right, although the political parties that use this pasuk don't use it in this sense, when it says Hashem Oz Liamo Yitain, God gives strength to His people. The Medrash says Oz is the Torah, V'nikres Betach, and we also know that the Torah is called Betach, security, trust, tranquility, because a person connected to the Torah will have that security of being close to God. Kamosha Kasav. This is, remember, the Torah. Remember in the beginning of Mishlei, the Torah itself is personified as a woman. And the Torah speaks to us and says, he who listens to me shall dwell in security. Shomei, so Miftacha is a Lashon of the Torah. All right, so that's one reference, that this is a Pasuk Merames to Matan Torah. The Ode. Another reference is Ir Gibarim Zeh Shemayim. That's the same thing. But Allah Chacham. So look at this. Kol Chacham V'tzadik. Ole B'chol Laila V'lo Meit Sham. Every night, the soul of a great Chacham or Tzadik goes up to Shemayim and learns and absorbs secrets of the Torah that they were not able to comprehend when they were in their physical body. It is only when the soul gets released from the constraints of the physical body that all sorts of insights could be obtained. V'yesh mehem tzadikim gedolim, and some tzadikim were so exceptional, shehayu eilen afilu b'hakitzu b'yom, they could somehow, you know, some type of deep meditation, they could somehow have their spiritual soul connect to heaven even while they were awake. This is Nevi'im. This, of course, is a state of prophecy. But he mentions later people. Rav Nechunya ben Hakana. Rav Nechunya ben Hakana was a great, he was a Tana. He was a great, he's not mentioned in the Gemara that much, but he is considered to be a great, great early mystic. The prayer that we say before the Chadodi, which is a very, very mystical prayer, Ana b'kayach gedulas yemincha, is a prayer that was composed by Rav Nechunya ben Hakana. Now, what is
why,
this?
Why do they distinguish him from all the other rabbis?
Well, he was known. I mean, we don't know the we don't know the extent of the mystical experiences of all the other rabbis, but it is there are things recorded about him.
What did he say, or what did he do that?
Well, I mean, he was a mystic. He had experiences of the soul leaving the body. The earliest Kabbalistic work is called Sefer HaBohir. And this is pre-Zohar. It's before the Zohar. And Rav Nechunya ben Akana is the author of the Sefer HaBohir. This is his book. Now, this next thing is an abbreviation. I don't know who this abbreviation. I don't know why this is abbreviated. I have Resh Yud Beis Ches, which is normally Rav Yossi Bar Chanina. I'm not sure why all of a sudden they would just abbreviate this name. And I'm also not sure specifically what this is referring to. But it says, of course, by the way, the Vilna Gaon is being a bit modest here because the experiences of which he is describing are experiences that he himself, what do they say this?
Do you have the same note that I have?
I don't have the note. Oh, Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, he changes the gear, so Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, yeah. Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha is Rabbi Yishmael the Kohen Gadol. And it is described that when he once went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he had a vision of Hashem and the Kisei HaKavod, and he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that way. Yeah, that would make more sense. So there's a mistake in the printing according to that. Huh?
That's just to become an olive oil.
Right. But as I'm saying...
Is it a real spiritual experience of a high order, or is it somehow a person psyching himself?
Well, you know, as I say, it's very hard for us, if we haven't experienced it, it's very hard to describe what it is, because it's not something I'm not directly familiar with it. You know, maybe you might be. I don't want to say people.
Well, but I haven't had that experience.
Yeah. But there is such a reality. There is such a reality of tapping into the divine essence that permeates the world. I mean, the truth of the matter is... even people who are not necessarily the most righteous or saintly, but there are meditative techniques that are extremely powerful. They are known to practitioners of even other religions. And those are given a certain amount of legitimacy. There is a spiritual reality of the world that is not only at least as real as the physical world, but in fact is much more real than the physical world. And if a person can get by, like the Matrix, if a person can kind of break through the artificialities of the physical existence and come in contact with the true underlying reality of the world, it's a very, very overwhelming experience. In fact, it's such an overwhelming experience that's why, indeed, we talk about it as being dangerous. The reason why Kabbalah is described as dangerous is not because, some lion is going to eat you. Those are metaphors. You know, I mean, it's not going to be a lion that's going to eat you. But the reason it's dangerous is that the soul that tastes that connection to the total reality of the universe does not want to go back to a world of fragmentation.
So you really become detached
and therefore,
from reality.
That's correct. And well, to be more accurate, you become detached from the delusion of apparent reality by being connected to ultimate reality, and then you don't want to go back. Which is why they literally say, just like a buddy system, they actually say that certain meditative states should not be practiced alone. You need somebody there to pull you back. Yeah,
I got on my shelf for that. Actually, came to me. When I was a little kid, when we went to Disneyland, when I was having a holiday, I dreaded the day when we had to come back and we scream, "Mommy, Daddy, I don't want to go back. I want to stay in Disneyland."
That's exactly. I mean, that would be an example of it.
Yeah.
On a much on a less profound level, but yeah, that's correct. So, in fact, this is probably why. Again, I mean, who knows? But this is why there's kind of a history of great Kabbalists dying very, very young.
Really?
The Arizal.
You mean all these nice people, tzaddikim, and all this?
Yeah, they die very young. I mean,
Rabbi Nachman as well.
Moshe Cordovero died at 41, and the Arizal died at 39. In modern times, Rav Ari Kaplan, a modern Kabbalist, died.
Nachman?
Rav Nachman died young as well. Part of the reason is that one who attains a constant devekus in an ultimate reality literally loses the desire to hang around here. This is all like a distraction. It just, why would you want it?
But is it up to them? Yeah. It's not.
But there is a point at which, you know, but you can't help it. It's not that you don't will yourself to die. That's not how it is. But, you know, the soul kind of has a certain autonomy. It just refuses to go back into the body, you know. But be it as it may, what the Gra is describing are experiences that he himself had, although the way this comment is worded, he's not talking about himself. But in fact, Rav Chaim Volozhin, his Talmidim are Mayid. But the Gra had a different take on this. The Gra actually, according to Rav Chaim Volozhiner, when the different angels wanted to teach the Gra all sorts of mysteries of Torah, it is said he turned them down. He says he only wants the knowledge that he gains by his own work. He doesn't want any gifts to come to him. So the opposite way, that you don't observe it. But the truth is, even we experience this in a very small way. I mean, it's a well-known phenomenon that sometimes if you had a problem that you didn't figure out, you can wake up in the morning and your brain, your mind did stuff at night that it did not consciously do. And at least in a mystical way, we would describe that as your neshama being freed of the constraints of the body. You were able to achieve a higher perception of reality that you could not perceive, right? So again, a scientist would describe it differently. A sleep researcher would describe it in a different way. But spiritually, we would describe it as a separation of the soul from the body, which allows there to be a higher perception, which can resolve
problems. Iranians really believe that dreams do say a lot of things.
Well, we believe it too. Dreams are very important. Now,
Chazal. How about Shavya then?
Well, yeah, but you know, I mean, Chazal are very pragmatic. In other words, Chazal consider dreams to be very significant, but they also say that in every dream there is chaff and grain, and it's very hard to know what is the chaff and what is the grain. So they do understand that dreams will have a lot of junk matter in it, but there will always be a kernel of truth. Although it's very difficult to discern what that kernel is. So that's what he says. Kol echad horid oz miftacha muvchar sheba mitfacha kmo Yishayo anavi hevi hakdusha. He gives examples that look at these gifts. Yishayo hanavi taught us the kedusha. Right. In other words, what is this? He has a vision of the kisei hakavod, the divine throne of glory, and he hears the angels who say to Hashem, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzavakos, Molo, Kala Aretz Kavoda. And he taught us that Shebach, right? Well, what is Kedusha? Nikadesh Hashimcha B'Yolam, we will sanctify your name, Kishem, Shemakti Shimo So B'Shmei Marom, the way the angels sanctify you, right? So Yishayo taught us Kadosh, 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 and Yecheskel, who had a different vision of the Kisei HaKavod, taught us the other refrain of the Kedusha, Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimkamo. And that's the Oz Miftacha. They brought us down the strong security of the angels. They brought it down to earth. Yecheskel Hevi Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimkamo. Okay, let's just do one more pasuk quickly.
I don't remember saying that.
Oh, well, you certainly did say it.
You say it every day. You say it me.
Sure, you say it every day. Well, sure.
No, I said, I don't remember saying that. I was just joking.
Well, I'm saying, if you daven today, you said it. If you were here today, okay. This is the Kedusha. Now, the next pasuk is Shomer Piv Ulashono, he who guards his mouth and his tongue. And the Gra is going to say these are not the same thing. Shomer Mitzaros Nafsho, he is guarding his soul from many bad things, from sorrows. If you're Shomer Piv Ulashono. Now here he explains, interestingly enough, that Kishnei Rashi Averos Yesh, there are two primary Averos a person does. Now here he picks an interesting choice. One is Taiva. One is excessive lust for physical pleasures. Again, this is the ascetic streak that the Gra often talks about. That Taiva often leads a person to many sins, whether it involves eating improper foods, whether it involves amassing wealth, improper sexual relations. Taiva is a big thing that leads us astray in many, many ways. Mm-hmm. And the second are the sins of speech. Now, this is a different classification. Throughout the book of Mishlei, the Gra often says that the two basic sources of sin are taiva and kas. Taiva is my desire for pleasure, and kas is my anger and my hatred and the like. Here he says it's taiva and dibor. V'negdan shnei dinim, and there are two different punishments that are designed for these different sins. Gehenim is the sin for taiva, and kafakela means the slingshot. Again, we don't know exactly what this is, but there's a certain type of punishment which is described as a person is shot in a slingshot across the world, across the universe many times. This apparently would refer to a sense of restlessness.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Had someone, you know, when someone's trying to quit drugs like heroin or crack or cocaine, and the withdrawal symptoms, it feels like that kind
right,
of
right. You're kind of moving around. There's like a lack of peace of mind.
Yeah.
Gehenim is biyad ha-taiva, kafakela biyad ha-dibur. Okay, we'll have to see
that's
the source.
That's Rabbi
of that.
Amnon Yitzchok said that.
Right. Now, shnei dinim elu b'makom tsar miyot, and not only this, but you're in a very narrow place. So that's interesting. So the kafakela itself, maybe that suggests the idea that it's more of an internal agitation. It is not, you know, you don't get the benefit of traveling long distances, but rather you're like in a very narrow, confined place where all of this happens. As it says, Be'er tsara nachriya, that the foreign woman, the bad woman, the Yetzer Hara, is like a Be'er tsara. Be'er tsara means a very narrow well. You're stuck in this narrow well. The Eitzel Kafakel, it also says, Yarkase Bor, you're in a bore. Therefore, Shomer Piv Ulashona. So you see what he's saying? So he's saying Piv does not refer to speech. Piv refers to things like taiva, like the food you absorb in your mouth and the like. So Shomer Piv means he who controls his taiva, Ulashono, and he who controls his speech will be protected from tsaros, meaning the tsara of Gehenim, and the tsara of Kaf HaKela, both of which, it's kind of a pun here, it's tsaros, it's adversity, but it's also makom tsar, a narrow place. Okay? That's what he says. Shomer pivu l'shono, shomer nafsho mishtei tsaros, sheyiel nafsho, which would be the Kaf HaKela, and Gehenim, both of which are described as a makom tsar, a narrow place.
So I guess embedded in this sentence is all these laws about lashon hara.
Yes, absolutely. They tell the story, it's recorded, that when the Vilna Gaon's wife had a very good friend, and they used to collect tzedakah together. And they made a deal, whichever one of them would die first would come back to the other in a dream and kind of tell them how things are like up there. So, I don't remember which one died first, but the story goes that whichever one died first did come back to the other one and said that the judgment of God on the improper speech that we've said, Lashon Hara, is very, very tough. So that's the one to be worried about.
I was thinking about that. Is there any way that somebody can take the initiative in this synagogue and teach everybody about Lashon Hara?
Well, you know, at different times.
I hear long gossips here and there.
Yeah, well, it's you know, something that, you know, everyone needs chizuk and everyone needs to be strengthened in Lashon Hara. You know, it's very, very hard. Lashon Hara especially is a very, very difficult to do tshuva. The famous, they say B'Shem B'Chavitz Chaim, or other people say
I don't like this story.
It's like shaking out the pillow, you know. You tell the person,
I don't like
take
that story.
Take a feather pillow, shake it out. If you can put the feathers back in, that's how you do tshuva for Lashon Hara. It's very, very difficult. Especially
there
when
must
it's true.
Be a way that,
especially when
way.
It's true. See, this is the thing.
There's
got to
be a
thing.
Way, though.
No, yeah, there is tshuva, but it takes a lot of work. I mean, you think about this. The issur of Lashon Hara is when it's true. Now, it's very hard to undo true. You know, if I say a lie about you, so at least I could say, you know, it's a lie, it's not true, and hopefully people might believe me. Maybe not. But if what I said is true, how on earth can you possibly undo it? You degraded somebody in a true way? So really,
yeah,
true Lashon Hara, therefore, by definition, is harder to undo than false Lashon Hara.
Rabbi, even if it is a lie, you cannot humiliate a person.
No, of course it's a sin. No, obviously it's an aver. All I'm suggesting is that it is theoretically easier to do tshuva on a lie than it is on a truth.
Right.
Because a lie, you could send letters, it's a lie, whatever it is, it's not true. If it's true, you're stuck. That's what they say.
In Kansas, they started 21 days of asking the children and the teachers not to gossip.
Yeah.
And they put a bracelet, a purple bracelet, as a sign that they are not complaining, not gossiping, not saying anything.
Yeah.
Well, public school.
Well, you need to do it with adults. We need to do that with adults.
Well, part of the problem is, if you eliminate Lashon Hara, we won't have anything to talk about. It's a hard thing. It's a very hard thing. It's a very hard thing. Yeah. Okay. Good week. Oh, I'm sorry. I have to tell you that. So will I be here next week? Yeah, I'll be here next week. I will not be here the week after, but okay.
I have two books I bought from Israel, and I find it very fascinating.